The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast was made possible by Squarespace, the all-in-one website maker with Cover Pages, a new feature that expresses your ideas with a bold single-page website. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello and welcome to the latest in a new series of short daily podcasts from the Guardian film team. My name is Benjamin Lee and it's Tuesday the 27th of October. Joining me today to talk about the latest film news is Catherine Shaw, the lady in my van if I had a van and could drive. Hello Catherine.
Hello Ben.
So news-wise today there was a study which has found that just 7% of Hollywood's top 250 films last year were directed by women and only 11% were written by women as well. It's only up 1% I think on the year before and depressingly just 2% from 1998. Does this surprise you, Catherine? Does it depress you?
No, I mean it surprises me that studies are still being commissioned telling us this because I feel like I've heard this before, in fact. What the solution is, I don't know. I don't think it's this quota system that they introduced in Australia. Is it Australia? Was it Sweden?
It's in Sweden. Australia trying to do it as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's sort of depressing, isn't it? But I think the more that I hear about it, the more depressed I am just about the whole situation anyway. I
mean, but do you think the more studies and the more news articles we read about it means that this time, you know, in 2 years, this is the kind of stuff which does start change, or do you think Hollywood don't really care?
Be curious to know what the situation looks like in 5 years, whether this sort of blitz of media coverage on this issue will have any effect at all. I sort of suspect it won't, because, you know, Hollywood isn't about it isn't about pandering, it isn't about doing the right thing, it's about making money. And the fact is that people still feel that, you know, movies made by and made for men make more money.
But you think there are some moves. I mean, I think it's DC who are hiring a woman to direct Wonder Woman. Do you think if a film like that does do well, then, you know, Hollywood's quite simplistic in the fact that they will see one film does well and then they'll kind of think, if a woman can direct it and a woman stars in it, then we'll do another one.
I suppose so. And I mean, I think, you know, one should be alive to the possibility that things like this whole debate are also in and of themselves a marketing tool. And films like, even like Suffragette, you know, a lot of the marketing is around people being galvanised about the issue. What people are sort of saying is, I'm interested in feminism, and so I must see Suffragette. And Suffragette, the people who made Suffragette, are using that. They're using that as a way of getting people on board. And it's interesting that the sort of issue is what's leading the debate, rather than the art. I mean, that's a sort of interesting, weird new thing, I think.
But that, and there's been a few films this year as well which have kind of used it, like Pitch Perfect 2 and 50 Shades, both directed by women and both films that were big blockbusters, and I felt they kind of used that as well. I mean, as they should maybe, but it seemed to appeal to a female audience as well, maybe because of that too. Or?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think women are, you know, you want a night out, don't you? And so, you know, what you go with your girl pals and see Mamma Mia, or you go with your girl pals and get cross about, you know, suffragettes and sort of reiterate the fact that women should have the vote, and in fact do in Britain. But so that's, you know, it's interesting that the campaigning is coming first. That's a weird new thing, I think. I mean, you know, you had that a little bit with something like Selma, which was one of the reasons that Tarantino, I think, got in such trouble with it. Because, I wasn't a fan of Selma, but you couldn't really touch it, you couldn't really attack it that much because you were felt to be criticising the cause, you know. So it makes films like Suffragette a bit untouchable. And you know, it is interesting how people use this whole debate as a way to not jump on a bandwagon, but as a way to market a movie. And that's what movies are there for. They're there to make money.
What's less representative is that the sort of award show hosts tend to be still mainly male, and the Golden Globes for the past few years have had Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, they've raised the bar, I think, for any award show host, and they're being replaced with Ricky Gervais next year, who's coming back, which seems like a bit of a surprise decision to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was really surprised by that. I mean, that's very odd indeed. And one could totally see the logic of Chris Rock doing the Oscars, and that'll be great, and that'll be something to look forward to. Ricky Gervais, I kind of liked his turns, but Tina and Amy were so good. I mean, maybe they're wise themselves to get out when they're on top like that, but no, it seems a really weird decision.
They also seem to deliver kind of barbs in a slightly nicer way. They'd still say things which were kind of mean, but they'd get away with it in a way that I think his delivery seems, maybe because he's British or maybe because he's male, but they seem a bit kind of crueler when he says them. I think he offended a lot of people when he did it before.
Yeah, and also because there's so much warmth between Tina and Amy, you know, that sort of lets them get away with it a lot. And also, it's the same sort of principle as what we were just talking about, that if you're, you know, Tina and Amy represent something now and you can't really touch them.
Well, the Globes and Oscars next year are going to be possibly the first round of awards just to be affected by Netflix, because Netflix have Beast No Nation, which is going to be maybe in the race, and they've just revealed some figures, because Netflix are quite cagey in the past about who's watched House of Cards, who's watched their original shows. Mm. But I think to kind of almost show off maybe, Ted Sarandos, who's the head of content, has revealed that Beast No Nation, which is their much publicised first kind of big original purchase, has been seen over 3 million times in the past week since it's been out, the past week or so. And he's also saying it's kind of finding audiences in countries where US indies barely kind of register, like Japan and Brazil. So, I mean, do you think this is kind of a strategy that's going to, you know, have more of an influence on the industry? Do you think that it's going to get to countries, get to viewers more than it would ever do in the cinema?
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing figures. And, I mean, we've seen on the site just the Venice review that we ran of Beasts of No Nation. It's persistently in the top 10 of our most viewed content. People are finding this. They're interested in it. I mean, it's an incredible vindication of the strategy, much bigger than I ever thought it would be. And it's interesting for something like the Michael Moore film, because he didn't want This Is the New One, Where to Invest Next, which was at Toronto, and was meant to be the subject of this big bidding war. And apparently he was offered distribution by Netflix, but he said no because he wanted it to be in cinemas, because he thought that's still the best way of finding the biggest audience. And this has absolutely shown that that's not the case. It's an incredible result for them.
I think what's interesting too about the film is that, because I spoke to Cary Fukunaga a few weeks ago and we were talking about the subject matter, which is quite difficult, and it's a kind of film that I think a lot of people would put off going to the cinema to go and see for a night out. Whereas I feel like if you're at home, I think it's an easier decision to make to just press play on your Netflix to watch a film which is about something tough that you might put off going to the cinema to go and see.
No, definitely. It doesn't feel like a date film, does it?
No.
But if you were sort of cuddled up on the sofa and quite, you know, but feeling quite ambitious, you might press play.
Do you still think that Academy voters are going to be... we'll go for a film that was premiered on Netflix, or do you think they're going to still be a little bit kind of snobby about it?
Probably this year snobby and next year not.
Yeah. You interviewed Ralph Fiennes over the weekend, right, for Spectre?
That's right, Ben.
Yeah, that's right.
Well done.
I believe I heard that. How was he? Was he charming?
Yeah, he was really charming. He was really charming. He was really nice. Yeah, I thought it was great, actually.
And he's kind of seems to be going through a kind of more comic phase of his career in a way, because he was so great in Grand Budapest, and he's in the new Coen Brothers film. And I think apparently he's looking for more comedic roles. I think.
Yeah, there was this amazing interview he gave to Esquire, actually, last year, where he said that he'd really enjoyed Ted, and he'd really love to do something like that. I think he's loosened up a great deal.
But you do find actors, I think, tend to get to a certain stage where they maybe get more humour about themselves and their job, and they get to this kind of phase of their career. I mean, Tilda Swinton doing Trainwreck recently.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep seem to have done more comedies, you know, as they've got older, and kind of had a... And Al Pacino especially kind of lampoons himself these days more. Do you feel like that's kind of a necessary thing for an older actor to do, to kind of be able to laugh at yourself more than you used to?
Oh, I think probably for anyone, isn't it? I mean, yeah, but maybe you just have a bit more perspective and maybe a bit more zen. And I think Tilda's always been fun. I think Tilda's sort of different. I think she's just so fantastic and great in everything she does. And she's long done kind of, you know, weirdo kind of cameos and funny parts. I don't think she's in any way taking the piss out of herself in Trainwreck.
Yeah.
As I think Ralph Fiennes is a bit in, say, A Bigger Splash. I don't know. I just think, I mean, you wouldn't naturally offer Ralph Fiennes a comedy. You wouldn't have done so 5 years ago. You wouldn't, you just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And now everybody can see he's so funny. I hope he gets a lot more.
So we put a shout out yesterday for names for our podcast, and we had some very interesting suggestions.
We had lots and lots, didn't we?
We had lots and lots. Yeah, there's too many to go through all of them. But EH Billion in our comments came up with some rather interesting ones, such as, oh, look.
Oh, I like that.
Hollywood, Hollywooden, and Holly Shouldn't.
Is that a bit long?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. The Never Ending Film Pod.
No, I didn't like that.
Get a Grip.
Ooh.
Big Screen Blah Blah.
No.
Yeah. And then Rod Hull.
Rod Hull, I like that.
Yeah,
that's
like
good.
That makes a lot of sense. And then Kempster also came up with something. Cut.
No, that sounds, you could just mispronounce that, I think.
A Happy Ending. Dumb Blondes, which I feel like is a slight...
I like that. That's very
none
Guardian.
None of us are blonde, but So Spectre's obviously out this week, and we've got a piece going up today where we're going to be asking for a sort of open discussion about the film. So if you've got any thoughts about the film, if you saw it last night, we'd love you to come and give your thoughts on things you liked and didn't like about it. And remember, this is a teaser for the full-length feature that is the Guardian film site, which you can find at theguardian.com/film. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And remember, never underestimate a podcast that has everything to lose. And that's a shout-out to those looking forward to Burnt, whoever they may be. See you tomorrow.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.
The Guardian gives you great independent journalism. Squarespace gives you the power to be independent on the web. Squarespace, the sponsor of this Guardian podcast, has Google Apps integration so you can create a beautiful website and get professional email branded to your web address. Entrepreneurship has never been easier. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.